Katy Perry says that her love language is not when you buy her expensive stuff. She said that in her past relationships, there have been lavish gifts. People think that, oh, you're Katy Perry. We have to woo you and buy you things that you've never seen before. But Katy Perry says that doesn't do it for her. Now, if you have young kids in the car, might want to turn it down.
If I come downstairs and the kitchen is clean and you've done it all and you've done all the dishes and you've closed all the pantry doors, you better be ready to get your... I mean, damn. Literally.
Wow.
That is my love language. I don't need a red Ferrari. I can buy a red Ferrari. Just do the dishes. It's not easy.
Wow.
Huh.
I will tell you this. Of course her love language isn't materialistic thing because she already has and can get whatever mm-hmm. she wants. It would be like if I had sexy time multiple times a day, every day for the rest of my life. That's probably not going to be my love language as much anymore because I'm desensitized.
It's kind of like, what do you say when you go to the resorts and stuff?
Yes.
The topless resorts. It's like, I don't care about boobs anymore.
Exactly. So I'm thinking, what are the languages? It's touch. It's buying things. It's doing things. So hers is doing things, which is surprising because she could hire somebody to do a bunch of things.
I think it's technically acts of service.
Acts of service. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's Orlando Bloom going above and beyond and doing things around the house for her so she doesn't have to.
Which, apparently, he does quite often.
Well, I mean, if that's the reward, of course he's going
to
do it.
He just has to shut the cupboards and the pantry door, she basically said, and he's in business.
I wonder if he would strategically leave them open so she kind of glances at it and he's like, oh, let me get those, and then runs over and shuts them to kind of make it look, I got these for you, honey.
Well, maybe, but then that's using it as a reward. The way I'm hearing it is that, yes, it can be used as a reward, but also it's like that is how she feels love. I know you don't always understand this because it's the man and the woman and the emotional thing, but when you feel emotionally connected or you feel taken care of or that they get you, that puts you in the mood, and that's what we need.
Yeah, well, I will say this. I understand all of them.
Yeah.
I really do.
The acts of service? All of them.
The
love languages?
Love languages. I can, and there's been some controversy about, it's kind of like a myth that, like, yes, of course, everybody does like all of them for the most part. But I will say, I do think that things can get desensitized because let's say Orlando Bloom was already closing the doors and the cupboards and in the kitchen and keeping it clean. I think it's almost like sets the bar and it goes unnoticed because that's the norm. The love language of doing things only comes about when they're not used to getting something done and then you do it, because if not, you're just already desensitized by it. It's just the norm. It's the same thing as shutting a car door.
Well, so you think we should cut back? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not. I'm not thinking that. I think that this is how it developed. I think basically it developed based on sitting down and saying, I feel love when you do this, because that's not being done as much, or it has to be not done to understand it. Because if things are the norm, let's say two people in the household are super clean and super organized and they both shut the doors right away, I don't think one of the others is going to be like, I'm turned on when you do that, because it's already being done. It's the norm. It's when it's not being done, you have a conversation about it, and then that person starts to do it, isn't an attraction.
I definitely get what Jason's saying, and I agree to an extent, because it's like for me in my house, like I cook and my wife Hannah does all the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, that's just the dynamic that we have. It works for us. It's easy that way. But if I were to cook and then I just went ahead and did the dishes, that would be above and beyond. And I think that would mean a lot more to her, knowing that that's normally her responsibility. I'm going to do that for you today. But then if after every meal I did it, I would not get the same praise or thanks if I did it every single time after every single meal, because it would become then my normal responsibility. I don't get the same appreciation for cooking every meal, even though depending on the meal, the cooking part could be more taxing or take more time than the dishes part.
Yes, I agree with that, because don't you see that, Katie?
No, I mean, I do, but I'm thinking, I guess personally, my love language, the way I feel loved and supported is words of affirmation. And so that's why I get really upset sometimes when I don't hear the, oh, this dinner is the best dinner I've ever had.
Well, that's because it really isn't. He's holding in the vomit.
He's not
going
to lie to you.
Say it to me. Because I never get tired of hearing that. You know, I will never get tired of hearing, oh, you look so nice. Or, hey, you did a really great job. Or, I'm really proud of you. I don't ever get tired
of
hearing that.
Those things are different. I bet you would get a little desensitized because it's just like what they say. And I know you guys, this goes down another rabbit hole, but the I love you thing. Or the constant, I love you. It doesn't, or the flowers all the time. It doesn't mean as much as when all of a sudden it's flowers on a different occasion that you don't expect.
Well, you can switch it up and show different ways.
But I'm sure you liked all the love languages. I'm sure you do like.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, nobody's going to be against one of the love languages.
No.
You're not going to, hey, oh, they did something else for me today.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
I would probably feel good about definitely the touch one. But I can see after a while, though, the touch one, I could get desensitized if it was nonstop.
Mm-hmm. Is that your main one? Because
it's non-existent, basically. And then what?
Do you feel like that's so high for you because you feel like you don't get that one as much? So,
definitely.
Like, let's say that Carol was constantly, I know you're going to say she doesn't, but let's say she was constantly giving you compliments. Do you feel like then that would become less of a love language for you because you're overexposed to it?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I think if I had touch all the time, I wouldn't need it as much. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
So you're saying you have a theory now from the Goodman Institute that your love language is partially developed based on which form you get the least of.
Probably.
Maybe you feel more strongly about one love language because you're deprived of it more
that
often.
That is definitely a probability, yes.
You crave it.
Yeah,
yes,
because I don't get this form, I crave this kind of love language because that cup is not getting filled.
I think that's not just the Goodman Institute. I think that's probably proven somewhere.
Yeah.
I bet you.
It's also, love languages are so screwy because when you read about them, you also find that the way that you receive it and the things you need are not the way you give it.
Yeah.
Correct.
And then that might not, I am prone to acts of service, but I just do it because that's how I show love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not necessarily what I need to feel love,
correct,
but that's how I do it. But then again, neither one of those could be Ben's.
But I do think if you weren't doing stuff around house and all of a sudden you have a conversation and you start doing that, I do think that's going to go a long way than if you already are doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So love language, all those love languages to me are part of the, I think every single person likes all of them.
Yeah.
It's just depending on what you're not getting as much of at the time.
Let me see if there's any, so touch.
Like Ben, somebody in the marriage is going to have to pretend that you did a good job on something and be like, hey, I really like this. You did a good job. And then after they go
pretend
in the bedroom,
no,
you have to fix it yourself.
No, I don't think they're going to pretend. I think that it's just not going to matter as much to them. They can still mean it. It might not be the best dinner, but you can say it.
You can say it.
That is true.
You can still say,
but you want him to lie?
I don't want him to lie, but he doesn't have to go like, this is the greatest. He'd be like, this is really delicious. And then ask me a question about it. Or, oh, it's really interesting. At least show something. I just slaved away in the kitchen for 5 hours.
And I think the reason that Katie doesn't get over exposed to that one, but like every time you bring something into the station for us to eat, I know Jason does this. I do this. We compliment it like to no end.
Mm-hmm.
But you also don't bring us something every single day or even every single week.
Mm-hmm.
So if you did, so let's say you brought us something every single day and we did that, do you feel like it would mean less to you?
I don't know, because the praise is so intoxicating.
But
it
might
really
stop
is
praising. But I will tell you this. The good news is, this is the good news for Katie. I don't usually pretend.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I'm saying something's good, you I really mean it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say, oh, this was really good if it's not.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be like, I sometimes refer to, I don't know why I do this, but I go, interesting.
Mm-hmm. I've heard you do that.
Yeah, we've heard
it. Not with me, but I've heard you do that.